Good morning. As we prepare for worship, please join in singing the hymn of preparation as found at the beginning of your bulletin. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. My name is Larry Moore. I'm Director of Music Ministries. I say that just in case some visitors thought possibly my name was Lee Robards and that I was a congregational nurse. Lee was called away to tend to a congregational concern this morning. So it's my pleasure and privilege to welcome you. I have two quick announcements to bring to your attention before we begin the formal part of our worship service today. The first is that a six-week Bible study will begin this coming Wednesday evening. And it will run for 7 weeks, actually, because it will be held each Wednesday evening with the exception of July the 4th. The cost is $10. It's going to be conducted by Andy Stanley, and the book title and study title is called Go Fish. It offers a new perception of the word evangelism by showing how believers can make it a natural, easy part of everyday life. Something slightly more long-term is that Vacation Bible School will be held on the last week of June, and that it will get here a lot quicker than many of us who are involved in Vacation Bible School will think that it's going to get here. There is the Vacation Bible School runs Monday, June the 25th, through Friday, June the 29th. Pre-registration for that will be held next Sunday and the following Sunday, June 10th and 17th, in the Fellowship Hall from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. For additional announcements, be sure to check the Sunday update, which is available on our website, by the way. You may also find some of these in the Sunday school classrooms and other announcements in the bulletin. With those announcements being completed, I now ask you to center your hearts and minds, and let's prepare for worship as our acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. who are able, please stand for the call to worship. In mystery and grandeur, we see the face of God. In earthiness and the ordinary, we know the love of Christ. In heights and depths and life after death, the Spirit of God is moving among us. Let us praise God.
Join with me, please, in praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. Blow, wind of God, blow away the life rules that hold us back from trusting, risking, and loving. Blow away our sin that stands in the way of encountering our neighbors. Ready us for birth. Prepare us for risk. Equip us with courage and vision to the new thing that waits around the corner. We cannot choose the stories we have inherited, but we can choose the stories that we become. Amen. The affirmation of faith this morning is a affirmation that we don't use every Sunday. It's 880. It's the Nicene Creed. So if you would turn in your hymn books to page 880. Let us join together in affirming our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Amen.
Testament reading for today comes from the sixth chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 8. Hear now a reading from God's Word. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to turn to the insert and join in the singing of the Psalter. We'll be using Psalm 29. The choir will be singing the printed words, and we will ask you to join in on the refrain, which is found at the top of that insert. Joyce will begin by playing that refrain now.
The gospel lesson for today is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Be seated, please. Our prayer concerns for today, Rebecca Harmon, Arthur Radcliffe, Billy Tongstall, Marilyn Sheridan, Sarah Callison, Charlie Dent, Walter Roark, Joy Pinckney, Susan Pinckney, Jay Pendergrass, Jackie Daniels, Wesley, Tanya Hodges, and Dan. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, as we come to this day, Trinity Sunday, and unite our hearts and our voices in praise and prayer and adoration to you, we thank you for the church, this place of refuge where we come away from the busyness of our day-to-day world and we spend time with our fellow brothers and sisters, lifting up our voices in praise to you. And we thank you for what happens here, for the nourishment of our souls, the refreshment of our social selves with our brothers and sisters that we have known through the years. And we pray for these who are ill and are not able to be with us today, whose presence we miss. We pray again for those whom we know in our hearts that have special needs this day, and yet they are not listed here or for ourselves as well. We thank you for those who are able to testify today to the healing power that has been instilled upon them through the hands of skilled surgeons or medications that we're receiving. We pray, dear God, for those who are away from home, those serving our church and you in mission work, and those of our government who serve on some foreign battlefield. We pray, dear God, that you will continue to move among us. And we pray again for our young people this day and for some who are privileged to be away on a special retreat, that you will be with them and those who are in leadership. And as always, dear God, we pray for your guidance in transition as we look forward to these next few weeks and for annual conference and all that will be taking place there. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with the morning tithing offerings. Ushers, would you come, please?
Mere flesh cannot perceive.
God, we give these gifts freely and lovingly because of what you have done for us. Continue to touch the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls around the world as a result of the faithfulness of these gifts. May they be used to your will in your kingdom. Bless giver and gift, those who have not, those who chose not to give this day. It is to you we give glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. We invite the children to the front for the children's message.
If any of you have money for the heifer project, I will take it in my hand when we're done here. Here comes some boys with some baskets so we can put the money in there. I believe some of the girls over here have some money. Okay, I want to talk to you this morning about Jesus and his encounter with Nicodemus. One night, Nicodemus went to see Jesus. And in Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus said something that Nicodemus did not understand. He said that no one will see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Well, Nicodemus was puzzled by what Jesus meant by being born again. He didn't understand how anyone could be born again. Well, you know, we have trouble understanding that today even. And I brought something that I thought might help us understand a little bit better. Do you see this beautiful butterfly that I have here today? We would say that this is a beautiful butterfly because of all the beautiful colors. And when you see a butterfly outside in nature going from flower to flower, you probably would use that word, beautiful, to describe it. But I'm sure you all know that the butterfly was not always beautiful like this. A butterfly starts out as a caterpillar, right? A fuzzy little caterpillar. And you probably wouldn't use the word beautiful to describe the caterpillar. You might say cute, and you might say funny little caterpillar, but you wouldn't say beautiful. But an amazing thing happens to that caterpillar. The caterpillar one day spins a cocoon around itself, and it stays in that cocoon for weeks. And then finally, it comes out of that cocoon, but it is no longer a caterpillar. It's a beautiful butterfly with bright colors. Now, we would say that the butterfly is a new creation. It's not the same as it was when it spun that cocoon around itself. It is a new creation. And this is sort of a picture of what Jesus meant when he said that we must be born again. You see, Jesus wants each of us to be a new creation. And in order to be able to do that, each of us has to ask Jesus to come into our hearts and change us and make us a beautiful creation. Now, we don't look any different, do we? But Jesus changes us on the inside when we ask him to come into our hearts to reside with us. So we become a new creation when that happens. Doesn't that sound exciting? Just like the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Us being born again or becoming a new creation is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus so that we, like the butterfly, can become a new creation. We ask you to change us and to make us beautiful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Somebody said there's one thing in life that is sure, and that's change. And how often we are to be resistant to change. As we have read this, heard this passage read this morning about Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is one of those individuals that seemingly was resistant, at first at least, to change. This morning, about 4 o'clock, I wake up, as I often do these days. But on Saturday night, Sunday mornings, I wake up with the sermon on my mind. And such was the case this morning. And I thought about making a journey at night. And I remember when I was in Thailand and there was a shortcut to our barracks, but it was on a dirt road. And I don't know how much you know about Thailand, but there are snakes there. One of them is the cobra. And so it's a good place to always be aware of your surroundings, especially in the bush or the rural area. And so anytime that I would risk walking that route, usually it was just at dusky dark, but never in the pitch black, because I could walk on the concrete around the other way. And one day somebody came into the barracks and said, "Marty, a guy was just bitten by a snake." And I remember going that route where there were those snakes, and I remember having a flashlight or not having a flashlight. I seriously doubt that Nicodemus had a flashlight. And as I think about this journey to Jesus, it was not a journey that was haphazardly made at night. It was a risky move, possibly. Risky in more ways than one for Nicodemus. I think about those meetings when some of you during my time here have said to me, "Pastor, I would like to talk with you in your study." And that's usually an indication that there is some type of serious communication that needs to take place. I suspect maybe that Nicodemus was a busy businessman, and Jesus was busy as well. And maybe this was just the most convenient time for these two busy individuals to get together. Nicodemus wanted some, as we say, quality time. He wanted that time when he could sit down with Jesus face to face without any interruptions, and he wanted to talk to this individual. He had experienced something that caught his attention. And he comes to Christ and he says, "No one can do what you are doing unless God is with him." Nicodemus goes on to allude that he believed that God's kingdom was coming into the world, and he had a perception of how this was going to happen, as most people, including the disciples, had. And it was hard to imagine that God's kingdom was coming into the world with a fellow who was a carpenter's son from Nazareth. It just didn't fit. And so as I think about this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, I wonder what he had seen. I wonder what he was looking for. And Jesus begins to talk to him about those spiritual things, and he's saying, "For God so loved the world," and that he sent his son, and he tells him as well that as Christ was coming into the world, that people need to experience a rebirth. I asked my young people in the early service this morning, "How old do you have to be an adult?" And then I ask them, "How young could an adult become to be reborn? They didn't have the answer to that question. So when we think about rebirth, we understand that in the physical sense, this is impossible. But I think about the impossible things that happened to us. At least they were impossible just a few years ago. I remember my first encounter with a microwave oven. I was working in the weave room in Joanna, and I bought me an apple pie, and the guy said, "Put it in that oven." I said, "I don't know how to work that oven." He said, "Oh, it's the greatest thing. You put it in there and mash it for about 5 or 10 seconds and you get it out and it's hot." I said, "You've got to be kidding me." And sure enough, I put my apple pie in there and punched in about 15 seconds and it was so hot I couldn't eat it. I had to let it cool off. How many of you this morning maybe poached your eggs in a microwave oven? Impossible just a few years ago. How many of you turned on the computer and had an email from your grandson off at, or granddaughter off at college, or maybe overseas, your son or daughter, or some type of email from a friend? All this impossible. How many of you walked into church this morning after receiving some type of implant to help you deal with a worn-out hip or knee? I'll never forget Dr. Morris at Emory when we were talking about the growth and the decline of the church, and we were talking about Frontier America, and he made the statement. He said, "A headache in Frontier America was life-threatening. You didn't just go down to the drugstore and get an aspirin for a headache. And now when we have aches and pains or problems, we go to the medicine cabinet or pull out our prescriptions. We drive the church in very nice automobiles or SUVs, and if we happen to get lost, well, we just punch in the directions or the address on our GPS and it tells us how to go. We don't even have to worry about it. And if we don't have a GPS, we can reach into our pocketbook or on the side of our belt and pull out our cell phone and call and ask for directions. All these things impossible just a few years ago. While packing my books the other day, I came across a little small pamphlet from J.B. Phillips. And as I looked at it, whether to throw this away or to begin to recycle it or whatever, it had the title that caused me to save it, when it says, "Your God is too small." And I thought about what that meant in light of the changes throughout my life. Those experiences that we have as human beings, it causes our world to change in directions that we had not anticipated. And most of us, even some of us, are resistant to change. Some of us will continue to endure the pains rather than take a chance on some type of implant. Some of us will not use microwave ovens, preferring instead to use our old iron skillets. I remember when we were at Chimney Rock and I had a hankering for some mountain barbecue. And I went into a little store that smelled about the way that I thought that I wanted to eat that type of barbecue. And I went to give the man my plastic card, and he said, "Don't take them, never have, never will." Some folks are resistant to change. Some of us will never use a computer and email, preferring rather to use, as we refer to it now, snail mail to do all of our communication. And maybe Nicodemus was one of those types of people, resistant to change, thinking that this rebirth that Christ was speaking of was impossible. How is it possible for us to be born from above after our physical birthday is long past? How is it possible for us to see and enter God's kingdom of God here and now? How is it possible for sinful men and women to ascend into the heaven? How is it possible that mortal creatures such as ourselves may gain eternal life? We have a God that does the impossible. Our God is not too small. Our God can accomplish whatever. As I picked up this book by J.B. Phillips and I began to think about the God that I embraced, and I thought about this gospel of Jesus Christ and the Bible and all those stories in there, and about creation and the issues that revolve in our churches around creation. And I could readily say, "God, I don't know how you did it, but I believe you did." And I don't necessarily understand everything about the virgin birth and how it all transpired, but I believe God did it. I don't know all about the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Christ, but I believe God did it. For Scripture reminds us that God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life. And I think about that encounter with Nicodemus and my mind goes back to the Old Testament, to the father of the faithful, to Abraham. And the Bible says that because Abraham believed God, that God imputed it to him for righteousness' sake, and he was justified under the law. Before Christ was crucified and resurrected, that he found eternal life because he believed God. This morning, I may not understand all the twists and turns in my life, but I believe God. I find it very therapeutic to be able to look inside of myself and then look outside of myself and say, "God, I might not can answer all the questions, and I may be bewildered in some stances, but one thing I know, I trust in you. I trust in you to guide and to lead. There's a story in the January 8th, 1992 Journal of the American Medical Association called A Doctor in the House. Is written by Bernard Z. Polishock, M.D., about another doctor that illustrates how Jesus makes the impossible possible. A physician went to visit and treat a sick mother whose children had chicken pox. She gave advice to the mother and then left. The pediatrician came later to see the children, and the next day when the first physician called, the mother said, "Dr. M did something really great for us after he left. He went over to the supermarket and brought back milk and juice and barbecued chicken and bananas. I was so surprised. He didn't even let me pay him. He is one really terrific doctor." Paul Schock said, "This is how we heal. In those small acts between one human being and another." Another woman shared an experience she had with her oncologist, describing how for a simple act that had enormous power, "He once tied my shoes after my treatment, and suddenly I felt like a human being." When doctors become involved in their patients' lives, they can cure in ways that they may not expect. One doctor told about a woman and her child who had come to see him. He wrote some prescriptions for antibiotics and then asked, "What's going on in your life?" He learned that the woman's husband had left her. After listening for a while, he realized that what she needed was to speak to legal aid. They spoke for a time, so he gave her the telephone number, and she forgot to pick up her prescriptions. When she came back a week later, she was beaming and healthy, as were her children. The visit to legal aid had solved her problem. The antibiotics were unnecessary. Someone cared and responded. She felt hope. She could go on. She could continue her life. When we touch other human beings, then we begin the healing. When we reach out and touch people, we begin to move the impossible obstacles that stun lives. We begin to touch people's lives, and the church begins to grow. When I think about those obstacles in our world, Leonard Sweet puts down a few of these confessions that individuals have had. And after I give you one of these confessions, I want you to respond by saying, "For God so loved the world." Confession number one: "I don't think I can face another day of working at my impossible job." "It's impossible for me to manage staying in my house by myself any longer." I can't seem to get in control of my impossible drinking, eating, gambling addiction. I have impossible monthly bills that now outweigh my monthly income. I'm facing an impossible situation with my kids. There's a problem in my life that I'm finding it impossible to face. Let us take a moment. You think about those impossible things that are in your life that you're dealing with as we have a moment of reflection and prayer. Let us pray. For God so loved the world, He sent His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back, oh what glory that will be. All because of His love for me. Amen. Number 369. These altars are always open, especially during this last hymn of invitation, Blessed Assurance. Let us stand together. Receive now the benediction. Go out and in all of life worship the Lord. Entrust yourself to the winds of God's Spirit. Put to death selfish desires. and offer yourself to God's mission in the world. And may God give strength to you and to all. May Christ Jesus bless you with peace. And may the Holy Spirit, whispering within your heart, give you assurance that you are God's children.